I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's recap week one. We'll do so with our good friend from CBS, one of the best insiders in the country covering the NFL. You could always watch him on CBS. Also, it is Afternoon Drive 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. And that's a good pal, JLC, Jason Lockenford. Jason, thanks for the time. What's going on, brother?
I can't complain, man. We got a full freaking weekend of football. I got to say, I had many a moment late at night laying in bed, worried about things bigger than football, obviously, and, you know, my family and my parents and how's everybody going to be healthy. And then also thinking, how are they going to get this thing off the ground and keep it afloat? And my God, hats off to the doctors, the lawyers, the executives, the general managers, the coaches, and especially and most importantly, the players for managing this thing to a point where at least, you know, we were able to kick off this season without a single COVID-related issue with any of these 32 teams, with 150 people in a building every day for going on 7 weeks now. It is absolutely miraculous to me.
I know that it's impossible to predict these things, but, like, where's your confidence level with the protocols that are in place right now that we get through this season?
Yeah, I mean, I have to tell you, Zach, just watching what happened in every other sport and seeing it derail and hijack every other season, it was just a matter of to what degree. I had reservations, you know, about the ability for them to do this, given what Dr. Fauci said about the sport being a perfect petri dish for conveying the virus through, you know, the actual playing of the sport, and given the scale of humanity it takes to get through an NFL workday, and given there's no national response and every community is handling it differently, and some schools are open and some aren't, and a lot of these guys have kids at school, they have wives who are teachers, and how is this thing going to be spread around? And, you know, the idea that, like, oh, well, if guys get it, they did something wrong. I mean, there could be an outbreak in a hotel. There could be an outbreak on a bus. There could be an outbreak
supermarket,
on a catering service, yeah, right, that brought food into a building or whatever. Like, you just start looking at what the last 6 months have been like as an American, and then you think, all right, so they're getting people to cut the grass, you know, line the grass, feed these guys, wash all the jerseys, wash all the helmets, clean all the tubs, clean all the shower. You know what I mean? You just start doing multiples of what it takes to keep a team sustained without a bubble. And it was hard, at least for me, not to think, my God, you know, that this might have some, you know, it might be broke before it begins. And here we are. We're at a point where it's working so well. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? And, you know, you better keep testing every day and keep all these protocols in place and ride this wave as long as you can because it's working phenomenally well.
JLC, Jason Lockenford here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. What did you think of the quality of the play yesterday with no preseason games and then also just the presentation on television, yeah, with basically no fans in most stadiums?
Look, I was blown away by the caliber of play.
Agreed.
I mean, I have found myself in the last, especially I'd say the last 5 or 6 years, being perturbed by September football and being turned off by it and saying, wow, this is the glorified extended preseason. Now, maybe part of this, Zach, is all of our worldviews have been sort of tilted on their axis by what we've experienced the last 6 months. And there are so many things we took for granted before that, you know, now we can't wait till we're able to do it again. So it could just be like, you know, the little birdhouse in my soul tweeting and tweeting and tweeting just that we're able to have football, that I'm not able to objectively look at it. But damn, I've been super impressed. I mean, you know, yes, I saw the Browns have a 3rd and 41 situation. Okay. Yes, I saw occasionally people maybe not know what down it was, or, you know, have some mental meltdowns. But overwhelmingly, I found myself blown away by what these guys were able to do, given how little time they had to prepare, and watching a Kyler Murray take a major leap up and saying, damn, and watching a Lamar Jackson take a leap up from the stratospheres that he reached as a 22-year-old and saying, damn, and you know, watching Patrick Mahomes just say, okay, you want to take away my deep stuff, I'll bleed you to death. I'll still blow you out in three quarters. I'm just going to dink you and dunk you and death by a million paper cuts. Okay, you know, watching Aaron Rodgers put on a performance that we never saw from him last year in Green Bay, I mean, that was a different thing. Watching the Seahawks let Russ cook from the first quarter on and having him dominate, you know, I'm singling out quarterbacks. We also saw a lot of running backs do their thing. I mean, you watch some of these college games, and not that you should ever equate that to the pros, but you saw some of the lack of tackling there, and I kind of shuddered, but I am overwhelmingly impressed by the quality of play. You know, the presentation, I don't find myself aching for shots of fans. You know, I think once the game started, the ambient crowd works pretty good. I watch a lot of soccer, so I was already kind of, in you know, sort of broken into the fact that there's going to be this artificial sound, and it kind of works. And so I don't know about you, but I look, football's always the ultimate television sport, and I think it's, you know, so the sideline reporters are in the stands instead of the sideline. Okay, whatever, I can deal with that. I haven't found it to be a detriment really at all to the viewing experience.
I agree, too. Like, hey, we would all love fans to be in the stands under ideal circumstances, but when the game gets played, I'm not thinking about the fans.
No.
I'm thinking about who's going to score, yeah, who's going to make a big play, and what games I have
mascot,
betting on.
Right? Like, I'm cool. I'm all right.
JLC, Jason Luckenfor here with us. All right, let's get to Brady. I feel like we go through this dance each and every year. I know he keeps on getting older, but he keeps on playing good football. And this year, he opens up against the Saints, goes down the field, scores that first touchdown, and then the offense just didn't show up for the rest of the day. I know people are going to say today, oh, he's done, oh, he's finished. I don't buy into that. What do you make of Tampa?
Look, I thought for as hard as he works and as much as I know that he was basically running an OTA series in the spring without technically being, you know, OTAs and without it being at the facility, but he was still whipping dudes into shape. And with him having a cast around him, unlike what he's had in a while, I had a little higher expectations than what I saw in that game. I got to be honest. I know BA has come out now and said, oh, well, the one interception is on Evans, but Evans couldn't run. I mean, Evans was out there to be a decoy, you know? I mean, I don't think nothing I heard leading into that game made me thought Mike Evans was going to be a factor. And then you watched it out there and you're like, yeah, he's not going to be a factor. So I thought Brady was feeling the rush a little more than he did in his prime. I thought he was floating some balls, and his release point to me was off on a bunch of different occasions. It wasn't Tom, you know, that's not the Tom Brady any of us are used to seeing. Now, this is a very different situation for, you know, on multiple levels. So you know, let's see. That might be that. You know, that's arguably the hardest game they're going to play all year. Well, so I'm not ready to make any grand conclusions as it pertains to him. But it, you know, my spidey senses were tingling a little bit. Let's let this play out. But he has some things he has to correct, and it's not that often you say that about a Tom Brady the last 20 years.
Are there any grand conclusions to make after Cam Newton with the Patriots after one game?
I mean, I would not be shocked if Cam Newton takes a pretty good run at Lamar Jackson's quarterback rushing record from last year. I don't think this was a one-off. We've always come to expect the Patriots to be the ultimate shapeshifters, right? And they reinvent themselves, not even just from week to week, but from quarter to quarter at times, and nobody makes better halftime adjustments than them. But I don't think this was a template to beat the Dolphins. I think this is who they are. They lack star power big time, and we're in an era of football where it's pass heavy, and it's all about speed and twitch and freak athletes. Well, okay. Who's that guy for them? Besides Cam on offense, you tell me who that guy is. So how do they make up for it? They go back to 1955. I mean, I saw a play where they had seven offensive linemen, a fullback, a blocking tight end, and Cam Newton, you know, a running back. I mean, that was it. Like, this is who we are. One time, I think they went empty set with a similar alignment. So they're going to play bully ball. They're going to hold on. They want to win time and possession. And they want to use Cam, his unique skill set, his abilities to open up things for other people to offset the lack of dynamic personnel. And I think they can do it pretty well. Are they going to do it to the 2-12, 13 wins that we're accustomed to? No. 9 or 10, and if they get the right split with Buffalo, win the division, I don't think that's out of the question. As long as Cam holds up and he doles out as much punishment as he takes. I think Cam Newton's going to carry the ball double-digit times every week. There's not going to be a lot of deep throws. If somebody dares get open deep, he'll hit them. But who's going to separate there? Not in Kilharry, not Edelman, not any of the tight ends. But go look at the first scoring drive of the game and the last scoring drive of the game, and I think it tells you who they are. It's either pass, pass, pass to open up the run, or it's run, run, run to open up some little stuff in the seam for Edelman and White, and then they gash you a little bit there, and then they get back to Cam on the keepers, and that's how they finish drives. Defensively, I think the secondary is really good. I don't know about the front seven, but if they have the ball the whole time, they're probably taking you out of your rhythm.
So you think that Cam this year, when you talk about Lamar, you think he can get up to like 1,200 yards rushing this year? Because the sustainability is going to be the big thing, JLC, is if he's going to stay healthy like you mentioned. But you think he could be that successful potentially?
I think he's going to run the ball a lot. I don't know that his yards per carry is going to be what Lamar had, but I think the attempts could be more. I look at what they're set up. You start to look at a team, right, and their abilities and so what is their template for success? Like, what are their different ways to win? I don't know how they win on offense in a way that doesn't require him running the ball double-digit times and targeting Edelman 10 times and maybe Harry 8 to 10 times and, White and Burkhead 8 to 10 times. But there's not going to be that downfield thrust. There wasn't that downfield thrust with Tom Brady last year. I just think it's all about moving the pocket, moving the mesh point, making you guess what he's going to do with the ball when it's in his hands. Is he going to pitch it? Is he going to keep it? Is he going to throw it? I think this is who they are. And they got this guy for 1 year, $550,000 guaranteed. I don't think they're worried about tomorrow or 10 Sundays from now, or certainly not, next November. If it works out, then I think it will. They can tag him, They can tag him. But there's no long-term commitment. I think they will ride this out and play a different brand of football as long as they can.
A few more minutes with JLC here on the Zach Gelb Show. Let me get to the Cowboys-Rams and then the ending of that Bengals game. Did you think the calls against Gallup and A.J. Green were the correct calls?
I really don't have a problem with either one. I feel like A.J. Green's been getting away with that stuff for years. Well, you got to go back a few years because he hasn't really played in a few years. But in his prime, I felt like he was a guy who was very handsy, who had a way of getting under a defender's chest, and sometimes it was obscured by the defender's hands. But getting up and under and getting, a fair amount of push-offs and not getting called for it very often. I thought he was a little too blatant with that. You had an official right there. There's nothing else Burrow could have done with the ball. But it was what it was. The one with Ramsey, did that require a little more sales job? Perhaps, but, people saying that's the difference in the game. I think the difference in the game was Dallas was out-coached. Dallas was out-executed. And Sean McVay had the smarter game plan, and he was content to just throw to his backs and do short stuff all day long and mitigate the pass rush and Mike Nolan's over-aggressiveness by continually just flanking something out on a wheel route or somebody just coming out of the backfield. And it's not sexy, and it's not particularly ingenious, other than if you stick with it enough and it works and you win, then you look smart. But he wasn't going to get into a whole lot of seven-step drops and let those guys wreck the day. I think he knows that offensive line and its limitations, and they played a good game. And Aaron Donald exposed some of the issues on the Dallas offensive line. It ain't what it used to be. It's just not. You know, they're not replacing that center on the fly, and they don't have another Lyle Collins, you know, around when he's not ready. And we'll see if, you know, if Smith can actually hold up through a full season, because that hasn't been the case lately. I'm not a big Cowboys guy. I think their hype is always out of control. I think that people blow their expectations out of proportion year in, year out. They're going to beat really bad teams. Lucky for them, they have some of them in their division. But this idea that they're Super Bowl contenders, okay, I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah, I think they should win the NFC East. After that, I don't expect anything more out of Dallas. Philadelphia going up 17, losing to Washington yesterday was embarrassing. And then how about the Colts? I know a lot of people were high on the Colts going into this year, me not being one of them.
Yeah.
Colts losing to Jacksonville. My, oh, my.
Look, this is not Monday morning quarterbacking on my part. I've written it. I've talked about it. I've gotten into fights with my colleague, like Pete Prisco, who I love, at the Combine. But if you think Phillip Rivers is better than Jacoby Brissett, and you're watching film the last 2 years, I want to see what you're seeing that I'm not seeing. I thought Jacoby Brissett got a raw deal. Other than these guys giving Phillip Rivers $25 million a year, I don't know who else was doing it. I mean, maybe Bruce Arians if it fell apart with Brady. But it's the first quarter and the fourth quarter turnover. He can't help himself. He's a turnover machine. Since 2018, first quarter interceptions. Jameis Winston, 12. Phillip Rivers, 11. Baker Mayfield, 10. Nobody else in the league more than 7. Since 2018, fourth quarter interceptions. Jameis Winston, 14. Baker Mayfield, 13. Phillip Rivers, 12. Nobody more than 10. Fourth quarter interception since 2016. Phillip Rivers, 24. Jameis, 23. Nobody else more than 20. He's tied with Sam Darnold for the most interceptions fourth quarter, close and late situations. Game within up less than 7, down less than 7. It'll absolutely kill you. It wore out his welcome with the Chargers, and it showed up that game. I mean, the third drive, they score the first drive. Jacksonville's not playing any defense. They get stopped on a goal line stand the second drive. Third drive, he underthrows a ball, which has been sort of the course. It gets picked off. Jacksonville scores. Rest of the game flow, they're kind of neck and neck. Jacksonville goes up late. And then they need a field goal to tie, and he's pushing the ball downfield where he can't. You know, it's not you. You got to know yourself. Like, you got to self-scout. Like, throwing up jump balls at this stage of your career ain't going to work well. And he got undercut on the route again. And that was game, set, match. They had packages for Brissett during the game. I'm just going to be fascinated to see how patient they are because, again, I just went back to 2016. This has been thrown more fourth-quarter interceptions than anybody in the league since 2016. And I get Frank Reich. Hey, I know him. I worked with him before. We can work it out. Can you? I mean, is this just maybe who he is? And he was never a super physically gifted guy, and now he's the last one to realize that what you thought you had still isn't there. I think it's a big problem.
Last one for JLC. Got about a minute left. Jason Luck and Four here with us. We look at the Ravens. Hey, they were great yesterday. I thought the Browns would show up. They obviously did not. I still expected the Ravens to win. Brownies, they get the Bengals and Washington the next two games. They should win both of those games. How concerned are you, though, with the lack of life that we saw, the insipid performance by the Browns yesterday?
Well, look, I am optimistic that Kevin Stefanski will get Baker Mayfield to have an internal clock and will clean up his footwork and will get him more fundamentally sound, but it ain't there yet by a long shot. He holds the ball too long. He's got his feet are all over the place. The mechanics are off. Odell Beckham's body language was, I would say, less than optimal. Their special teams was a complete disaster. And look, you mean the bad? I don't know that they've been. Thursday night is going to be interesting. It's a short week. The Browns are really beat up at linebacker and really beat up in the secondary. And the Bengals' offensive line is no great shakes. And maybe Myles Garrett wins that game on his own. But if they don't whip people up front, I think that's a football game. And I like the way they kind of were bringing along Burrow there and not having him do too much. And then, you know, I think Burrow running out of some of the spread formations was a problem for the Chargers. Cincinnati probably should have won that game. So we'll see. I think that's an interesting game Thursday night. If the Browns find a way to lose it, mod on. It'll be.
It'd be fun for us.
It'd be a dark Friday in Cleveland, brother.
JLC, Jason LaCanfora, happy to have football back. Happy to have you on. Thanks so much, my friend.
My pleasure, buddy. Enjoy the games.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.